Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now, it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, my name is Foster Brown, the co-host for the program, and we have a studio full of guests here, a very interesting program ahead of us. We're going to be talking with some folks who are getting close to graduation from an exciting program that is called Step It Up IT America. Step IT America or Step It Up America Detroit. Great program. You want to listen to that, talking about empowering minority women to get in to IT and get empowered. That and much more coming up. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, and for those of you who are regular listeners to our program, you know that we're an hour earlier than we normally are, and that's because the season has begun of the big green and white guys pushing us around, and hopefully their opponents as well, Notre Dame included tonight. The game is coming on, that's Michigan State University, their football team is going to be tackling Notre Dame, I'm right, tonight, Gary?
That's Michigan that's playing Notre Dame. MSU is playing the Ducks of Oregon.
Oh, that's right.
It's number three playing number five. This has nice national title implications, potentially.
I should pay more attention
to that. Not to say that the Michigan-Notre Dame game isn't an important game, course. But
seeing Gary here, knowing how blue and maize he is, I got all confused, flustered.
I can tell you that as much electricity that is still out, there's going to be a lot of bars filled up.
That's the truth. We had no electricity this morning. I left and went down to the office, and about halfway there, my wife texted and said, "Oh, we got electricity back." I'm going, still going.
I was interested to see a lot of areas downtown Detroit around the Fisher Building, where we are right now at WJR, is still out, and I know in the Royal Oak area, quite a few of them are still out. Well, guys, we got a great program lined up today. We're going to be doing a follow-up on a program we did back in July when we talked with a young lady named Monique Cleveland, who was enrolled in a program called Step It Up America Detroit, and then it was designed to help women, particularly women, minority women who have not had a chance to get in, to break into that field, to get in and get trained. Her graduation is coming up, and she has a fellow graduate coming, Janae Connolly. We'll be talking with her and a bunch of the other people from there about that. It's an exciting segment of the program. And by the way, we're also, and another thing coming up in the hour, we're going to talk about a program that could get you a cell phone for $29 a month. No contract. That's it. Data, phone, everything else. But you get that, and you also get to give to your favorite charity. So we'll be talking about that coming up. It's called Give Mobile. But we've got Mike Brennan coming up in just a moment with the headlines from MIT News. Big week coming up. As a matter of fact, Apple is coming with their big announcement next week on the 9th.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, if you have an Apple TV, you can watch it stream live.
Yeah, they never tell us if it will be a big announcement or not. Yeah. But it has been the last few years, so we
expect
it. Certainly
has. And I think with iPhone 6 and some of the things that are coming out, we're going to talk a little bit later about that.
iOS 8.
And then, Gary, I want just to put a little bookmark in this, literally when we talk about that, to also talk about a scam that came through that purported to be from Apple, which is a pretty hairy one.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've got to make people aware that just because it's on the Internet, just because you get an email
and it looks legit
doesn't mean it always is. We have to be so wary today because the bad guys are getting better and better at faking us and conning us. So.
Yeah, did you hear about that hack, of course, that took place where a number of celebrities' pictures were stolen?
Oh, yes.
And it was based on the Apple device. What happened was Apple has a site that, you know, help me locate my phone
and
stuff like that. Right. Well, that has unlimited number of tries for your password, where everything else they have a limited and lock out. But because hackers, after they discovered what a person's email address and Apple ID, they tried unlimited number of passwords
and eventually,
on that site.
They'll break it down.
And they break it down, and then they were able to steal their iCloud photos.
Yeah.
And that's how they were published. Apple said they were going to address this.
Of course, some people address the fact that why would you have naked selfies of yourself?
Exactly.
Anywhere that could be.
We're not going there.
No,
we're just going to talk about how they're going to fix the
problem.
You know,
exactly.
But this is the opposite. I mean, yes, exactly. you have a lot of people that would say, why would you try to lock out my account? I'm trying to locate my phone. I didn't remember the password the first four times. You know, can't you just increase that a little bit? So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
But they could increase it somewhere between normally 3 or 4, what normal sites give you, and unlimited. There could be a happy medium somewhere
maybe
around
1,000.
I also want to go a little bit later on about two-factor authentication, something that I just discovered this week happened.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Mike Brennan is with us, of course. He's the editor of MI Tech News. And, Mike, it's good to have you on the show with us again.
Hey, Mike.
I'm certainly hoping you're on the show with us again.
Oh, there we go. Well, it's good to have that issue. All right, I pushed the button.
Hey, Mike.
I promise you'll find no naked selfies of me on my website.
You were just checking.
Heavens,
I'm sure.
For small favors.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Let's get on to the headlines, folks. This is MI Tech News, by the way, that you could receive every Friday. A whole bunch of headlines about things going on in the technology world and around our state and the country. And one of your headlines here is kind of actually close to home, Ann Arbor, the seat of all wisdom and knowledge, of course. Toyota is focusing on evolving vehicle technologies in that fair city.
Yeah, if you had any doubts about the power of mobility, just read my newsletter this week. We've got 3 or 4 stories about that. Everybody's launching initiatives, including Toyota. And theirs is a look at how to connect smartphones with cars and also qualified self, which is the wearable devices like smartwatches, things like that. They're looking at all that. They're spending $35 million in Ann Arbor at their collaborative center there to figure all this stuff out.
Well, and on top of that, another headline I saw kind of fits in with that, and that is that AT&T is now also offering voice-enabled apps for cars to improve safety and infotainment. They had like 6 voice-enabled applications that they debuted.
Yeah, AccuWeather, Glimpse, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Streetline just goes on. They're trying to leap into this market and be the alternative before all the car makers, you know, do their own thing.
So have they got a special kind of an application that will allow them to fit into all the car models? Is that the idea?
Well, that's the idea. It's called AT&T Drive. That's their platform.
Ah, and that is the key to it. Folks, MI Tech News, you can get all the headlines. Simply go to our website, internetadvisor.net, scroll down the page, click on that subscribe button, and for nothing, you'll get these headlines and many, many more. Mike, thanks again for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Foster.
Take care. Back in just a moment to talk to somebody who's about to graduate. Thanks once again for joining us here for the Internet Advisor. Just a brief word. Some of you have been listening to us from 4 until 6 in the afternoon on Saturdays, and we're going to be moving around this fall and the winter and into the spring with the different sports schedules at Michigan State University. So today we're delighted to be able to be here with you live. That means that our second hour, which is going to be from 4 until 5 today, will be the one where you can call in 800-859-0957, our toll-free number, and we'll be able to take your questions and answer them then, okay? And then we'll tell a little bit more how to keep in touch with us throughout the fall and winter and spring season when we're kind of playing hide and seek on WJR here. Delighted today to bring back a group of people who were with us in July. July the 12th, we had the folks from Step It Up America, Detroit. Now, that it is IT. And if you have visited our homepage, internetadvisor.net, you'll know that we've got a link to that program. You can find out more about it. But let's just step back for just a minute and kind of get the big picture with Myra Ford Jenkins, who is with us. She's the Michigan Account Manager for Step It Up America, UST. And Myra, thank you very much for coming back.
Foster, thanks for having us back. We really appreciate being here this afternoon.
Well, and I'm really excited that you're back because while you and I had met and we had talked about some business that we might be able to do together.
That's right.
And I invited you onto the show, and then I couldn't do the
sailing.
Show. I went sailing that weekend, so I'm happy
what an
to
excuse.
See you here
I know,
in the studio.
But thank you for having us, Gary. We really appreciate it.
I'm really glad that I could do the show with you the second time around.
Well, Gary, you know, and that kind of brings up maybe the framework for what the Step It Up America Detroit is. And Myra, I want you to talk about how you interface with companies like the one that Gary works for.
Perfect. You know what? The Step It Up America program is a jobs training and jobs creation program designed to train minority women in the field of IT. And we're doing that by offering them a 90-day boot camp of training. They're in training. Actually, the ladies that you'll be talking to in a few moments have been in training with us since the end of May and are approaching quickly their graduation at the end of September. But the program is designed to help to fill a gap in the IT space. We have plenty of IT jobs that go unfilled every year in Michigan, and we have a lot of resources as far as the talent, and we just have to have the talent trained properly. So UST Global, our company, trains the ladies, prepares them for the workforce. We provide them with a stipend as they're going through training. We provide them with hardware that they will need for the training, and then we guarantee them employment upon completion with UST Global. Now, we look at local companies such as you know, the major corporations that we have here in the Metro Detroit area to help us to keep the ladies in Detroit.
So to look for positions for these people once they graduate.
That is correct.
Well, and when you think about it, you're absolutely right. We do not have enough IT workers.
Not at all.
At all levels, right? We're looking for engineers. We're looking for all sorts of people all up and down the skills ladder. And a lot of times, we just can't find people that are just entering.
That's right.
And it's so hard that when we do find somebody that's just entering the workforce, we don't know if they're well enough trained, right? We don't
know. They don't
know
the basics, right?
It's just, you know, we're...
That's right.
How do you get experience if no one will hire you the first time, right?
Right, you
the,
can't get the there because problem. You aren't there is that kind of catch-22.
And,
you
know, and this is why this kind of program is so important.
The STEM environment, if you think about what has been happening with the STEM environment of science, technology, engineering, and math in our country, we just have not had that focus with those disciplines.
Yes.
So, again, that's the reason, part of the reason for the gap with, you know, personnel in technology. So it's really time, and I don't like to, you know, play on the words, but it is time for us to really step it up and make sure that we are training folks in the area of technology. If you look at the statistics, minorities in particular, if you look at the average IT department, there's not been one corporation that I've met with that could say to us that they have a diverse workforce in their IT environment. They know very well that it's just not a diverse environment.
I want to ask Sheila Pettaway, who's with us as well. Sheila, you were a coach and mentor, so you have hands-on been working with the two young ladies who are in the studio with us, Monique Cleveland and Janae Connolly, and I will get back to introduce you to. But tell us how you work with them in the training.
The way I work with them in the training is initially we do what we call soft skill training for the ladies. You know, we can teach them the technical skills, but they also need to have the skills to be able to survive in the job that we place them in. So I do the core training for them, which includes meeting behaviors, how to set up a meeting, communication skills, interpersonal skills. So we work on those different areas.
So they feel confident then when they go into that business.
And you know, nobody else gets that training, right? I mean, you go to a university or something, you don't get that kind of training, right?
And that's very important that they have that kind of training.
Absolutely. In fact, maybe more important than some of the other skills that they would otherwise think would be important,
right?
And then do you then give them hands-on with IT? Because I know that part of the program is giving them a laptop and giving them the hardware, at least, to work with. And then how do you work
So we have the trainers in the classroom who actually gives them the actual technical training. And I've kind of followed them throughout the whole program, the whole 90 days, assisting them, making sure they have everything they need to be successful. If we have any individuals that are struggling in the class, I set up tutoring sessions for them just to make sure, again, that they have everything that they need to be successful. And then I work hand-in-hand with Myra.
And Sheila, when you say 90 days, it's not 90 calendar days. These are 90 training days, right? So it spans 4.5 months or whatever it is, right?
Yes, it's 8:30 to 5:30 every day.
Now, I gotta
ask when you hire, you know, when someone hires one of these women, they know that there's a big commitment that has been made by them. Yeah. They've been in that training, you know, 9 to 5, right? Or 9 to 4:30, as you say. But for a fair number of days, 90 days, they're getting, right? So sometimes people would say, you know, new job, I got to train them on new job skills, right? Not necessarily with these women, right?
Right.
You know what? I actually, Gary, as you're talking about that, I think about the fact that in the typical undergraduate program that someone comes out of, when they get into their major, they may spend a total of like 200 teachable hours in a classroom. Our ladies, with the 4.5 month teach program, are spending like 700 plus hours in this program, and they're getting a very dedicated and focused training as
That's
opposed
right.
to that broad base that
Let
you
me introduce
and real job skills. That's
I
real
to find out what it's like from their point of view. We got the teachers talking now. I want to see. Because Monique Cleveland, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back, Foster. Good.
Now, you are a mom, and you have been working in other fields. Am I right?
That's correct.
Okay. What other field that you were working in before this?
Well, my education was in biological sciences, okay. And I had been working kind of like in the healthcare field.
Okay. And then you stepped. What made you step into this, first of all?
Well, actually, I had to enter into IT, and I was on an assignment with a temporary agency, and they were ending that. And one of the coworkers had heard about the program and asked me if I was interested, and that kind of took me, you know, and transitioned me into the program.
Into the program. And also with us is Janae Conley.
Had a desire.
Janae, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you inviting me.
What's your background?
My background, actually, I went to Schoolcraft College for an associate's in culinary arts. And I have a love for cooking and I have a love for the arts, but for some reason I didn't have a true fulfillment for it. To be very honest with you, I just went to Michigan Works with my mother and they were just, you know, announcing, hey, they're hiring 1,000 women of color in the IT field. And of course, you know, I'm very... anxious as well as intimidated because, you know, IT is not exactly my...
Give me a knife, I can handle them.
I'll chop them up. So I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of times people think of IT workers and, you know, it's, you know, a power drink, double caffeinated Mountain Dew or something, and pizza. Well, no, that's not the way it works. We do run on our stomach, but and we do work sometimes different hours because you have to put things in at a different time than when people are actually using systems. But potlucks are great. And so I could see you being really valuable to some IT team.
So Janae, what was the training experience like for you then?
Well, the thing is that you do mean in culinary, you do mean in IT.
Because I can give you both.
We'll talk about the culinary after the show.
No, the interest is, of course, is in the area of the IT.
Well, the thing is that, of course, like she said, 8:30 to 5:30. What I love about this program is near where I live. A lot of my jobs were outside. Side of the city. We go in there and basically as we're greeting everybody, good morning, we're just rehearsing everything that we're learning, rehearsing everything that we learned the week ago as well as the IT training. And I'm telling you, it's very tedious, but it's possible. We're all trying to encourage.
That's excellent. Okay, yeah. We're going to continue this conversation to hear more about where they've been and then where you guys are going and how you interface with these major companies and get employment. We're talking about this. We continue talking about Step It Up America Detroit with our guests here on the Internet Advisor. Gary, you know, one of the things that I am so impressed about by Step It Up America Detroit, the folks who are in our studio right now, is that we hear a lot of talk about training people, about getting them in. They are really doing it. And that to me is the most impressive part about it with our two students who are in here, Monique Cleveland and Janae Conley, and then they're trainers as well.
You know, with their partners in the training, which is Wayne County Community College, right, Myra?
That's correct. Yeah.
And, you know, they get great training, but it's different than a typical community college training, which is where most of people get their first training to get the first entry jobs and then go back and maybe at a university level. But an awful lot of them come through this way because it's more technical, more vocational training, right, to get them started into a skill, an actual skill, not just education. The difference is, I'm not, as a Wayne County Community College student, I would take a couple classes a term. I'd be in the classroom 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a week for a few weeks, you know, 14 weeks or something. You have such an intense training. Talk to us a little bit about the difference, because that's got to be a real differentiator for you.
It really is, Gary, and thanks for asking about that. You know, first of all, the curriculum that we're delivering for the ladies has been developed by UST Global over the past 15 years, so we've got a very proprietary and unique delivery.
And we should mention, excuse me, just a little footnote here, UST Global is literally global.
Yes, we are.
When I looked at the statistics of what you folks do, major corporations.
Boston.
You work for.
Yes. We $722 million we did last year. We're going towards $1 billion this year.
Yeah.
And the beauty of that is we did that with only 85 clients, primarily 90% of that were 85 clients that
and
we
you,
go deep and wide within our
place
client base.
You IT workers in these businesses. That's what UST Global is about.
Actually, you know what? UST Global is technology services. So if
gotcha.
You think of us as okay. like we compete on a regular basis with Accenture and PricewaterhouseCooper and the
right.
likes of those types.
Okay.
So we do place, but we are placing to fulfill projects that we would have with
I
those clients.
Okay.
Yeah, this is kind of even in addition to that normal business,
it is.
Right?
It really is.
And what's interesting is, and again, it's not a person that may have some knowledge of the industry, mm-hmm. maybe worked mm-hmm. in the industry, coming back to teach at a community college level. You're taking your experience mm-hmm. every day, baking it back into the next class,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's real skills that are needed today that people will pay for, right?
Yeah. And Janae, you worked for how many years in the Navy?
Sheila.
Sheila.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. Looking at all sorts of people with a list
That'd
of names.
That'd be nice, actually. But thank
I beg
you.
Your pardon. We hope that happens, Janae, that you can have that kind of history, too. But Sheila, you worked in the Navy for how many years?
20 years.
For 20 years. And IT, especially. So you got people who are doing the training who are hands-on. That's, yeah. I think, what I love to hear about it is it's nitty-gritty. I want to ask the two students who are here, Monique and Janae, what was the experience like for you going through this?
Well, I'm pretty sure you can go first, actually.
Sure, no problem. Foster, this experience has been very challenging. We've gone through phase one, which was the soft skills, like Sheila mentioned.
Yeah.
Phase two, which is our tech training, which we, you know, are just completed.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in phase three, which is we're actually working a project that we are very prepared for the employer.
Excellent.
And we're able to even speak of that, you know, during our interviews in which we are preparing for interviews with the clients now. But it's been a wonderful experience.
Now, Janae, you came out of a very different background with culinary arts. How is it working being in this
it has just been
scientific
a great,
thing?
It's just been really exciting for me. You know, my family, you know, my brothers are actually have degrees in computer science. And I used to always come to them about computer questions and everything. And now that I'm starting to get a better understanding about the IT field, I'm kind of like, so what can I fix for you? What can I do for you? Like, I don't know. But it's just been wonderful. All sorts of people.
One word of warning. And
yes.
Ed Rudell could tell you if he was in the room that you will now be called on at every family gathering. You know, Jenny, I had this problem. My screen won't, and I can't get there.
Hey, you might as well just share the story about the avocados that I gave you, the advice I gave you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was telling her that, you know, my avocados were turning brown. I didn't know what to do, but I figured because she had the culinary background, she could tell me. And she gave me the exact thing to do was to put some plastic, you know, over it, and it would work. And it worked. You know,
so. Sharing your skills. Now, you folks now are close to the end of your training. You're working mm-hmm. on a project. Mm-hmm. So then, where will they go from there?
Okay. Well, you know what? There have been, can I share with you a
yeah.
lot that's transpired since we
yeah,
were
yeah.
last with you in mid-July? You know, we had Vice President Joe Biden came by to visit the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that visit, I mean, the momentum just has been gaining and gaining. He's gone throughout the country even talking about the Step It Up America program.
Excellent.
And with that said, you know, the ladies upon graduation, they are we've got roughly six employers right now that have committed to about 25 of our 58 students that are in place today.
Okay.
However, we were at the Tiger baseball game last night and did a suite at Comerica Park, had about 10 clients there, and every last one of them left there committing to taking students also.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited about what the next couple weeks holds for the ladies.
So this is building momentum
yes,
in many
it is.
Ways. In
yes, it
How
is.
Long has Step It Up America Detroit been here?
You know what? We launched in March. The class started at the
Just
end of
March.
May. Yes, yes. Yes, so very
nice. I love how it's catching on. It sounds like it's catching fire.
We're you know what? We're all around the country right now. We're in six markets in the U.S. We are building out another 4 to 5 by the end of the year here in the United States. Our goal is to train minimally 5,000 ladies in the next 3 years
wow.
in IT across America. And the only constraints we have are the partners that we can gain from corporate America.
Yeah. And wouldn't that be wonderful? We wouldn't have to take so much offshore because
That's right.
we just can't find people.
That's right.
We'll have people here
That's right.
in the States.
Sheila, I have a question to ask you. How trainable are the folks that you deal with? I mean, they're coming from very different backgrounds, like biology
culinary arts
or whatever, maybe. How trainable are the folks?
I will tell you that the city of Detroit and these ladies are very trainable. I have not had a concern with one of them. They're awesome.
That's
they're
excellent.
Really and,
awesome.
And you do, it's
pretty selective to get in the program because there's a big waiting list. You can't take them all, so you're taking the best, right? So
yes,
that's good.
There's an assessment they have to pass, yes.
Yeah, and these are not people that, I mean, they may have been in the workforce, but now they're entering the IT workforce. Mm-hmm. And it's a little different, but there's a lot of transferable skills, too.
Well, Nick, is this kind of breaking the mold for your family? You know, in Detroit, the urban population in Detroit grew around World War II with people coming up for the manufacturing jobs
from
the South. And so we've had generations of people who have been involved in that manufacturing. And has that been the history in your family?
That has been a history of my family. In fact, the men in my family were factory workers. Sure. My mother spent like 35 years in meat industry. So this is breaking a mold for my family.
Yeah. How about you, Danae?
I definitely could say yes. I can see myself entering opportunities that I never thought and dreamed I'll get into. I'm taking my family along with me, and I'm just hoping they're able to open up doors for my parents to some of the things that they didn't have. So,
oh, that's exciting to hear. That is so exciting to hear. And I guess what is catching fire with me here is that this is just a little spark that's begun, and it's beginning to burn. You said you have how many students now that you put through the program?
We have currently 58 students that are in place today in the program. They will all graduate in the next 3 weeks, and then we have an additional 80 students that are waiting to start the same training, and the only reason why we haven't begun that next slot of training is that we want to make sure that the momentum that we have, the ladies that are in place today, are working successfully.
All right, so there's a blunt question for you. Is there a job for Monique and for Janae?
Most certainly there is, and the reason that there is, let me share this, that we've got to clear up in the community what the differentiators are with our program. Along with all those benefits I talked about, these ladies are all guaranteed employment immediately upon graduation with UST Global. So they will, upon graduation, they are W-2'd and they become UST Global associates. Okay. They will be a part of a 15,000-person family, if you will, of associates globally. That's our goal, Foster, is to keep them in the city of Detroit and not move them around because we could move them elsewhere.
Because they could be moved.
Yeah,
I love that commitment.
But can you imagine if they stay here, what happens to our local economy, happens to the communities that Monique and Janae live in when they start to see women in IT?
I was going to say, and I want you two women, too, to be the role models for the young women and the young men in Detroit.
That's right.
You don't have to run away, and you do have a chance here. You're getting excited.
I am.
Preach it.
You know why? You know why? Because we have a program that we're just launching that literally contracts were just signed this week, this exact same model for the veterans in this country.
Wonderful.
In this country. Yes, sir.
Invited.
Yes, sir. So we know, again, corporations want to bring on veterans. They may need to be retooled slightly. We've got a project that we're launching over in Baltimore, working in conjunction with the Benefits Corporation there and Habitat for Humanity. Mm. Habitat is going to go in and retrofit 25 row houses in Baltimore, and we're going to train the vets that go into those homes, and then we're going to place them in jobs.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, people that are listening, they're going to go, you know what? I may want to talk to these folks. I may want to see if you know, we can take and fill a couple of the open positions, right? They can go to our site, internetadvisor.net, and there's a link there. They can come off to your site. Mm-hmm. Your site, do they have another way into
You know what? I could give them my personal email address and contact information because that's how everyone is reaching us.
We'll put that into and put it on the notes as well.
Yeah. So we get people driving, so don't try to take notes while you're driving. We'll put it on our site, internetadvisor.net, and you'll be able to get it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, Janae and Monique, what are the things you've learned? I mean, quickly. What have you learned today?
I've learned about Java, XML, HTML, and web design.
I love it. And Monique?
Absolutely. Java, JDBCs, the programming itself, and, you know, web XML.
Well, the very best to you both as you graduate, and to you folks as well, to Monique Ford Jenkins, Sheila Pettaway, Monique Cleveland, and Janae Conley. Thank you so much. Back in just a moment, talk about charitable giving and cell phones. Well, you know, those of us who use cell phones, smartphones, more and more are becoming a big part of our lives, and the costs just keep on going up. Can you imagine a cell phone plan that starts at $29 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data? Does that sound good to you, Ed?
No, that sounds awesome. You know, when I was trying to get my daughter to do something like that, you know, she went overseas, and I said, when you're over there, buy a smartphone unlocked.
Yeah.
Okay, you could get them for $50, $60 over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And She panicked at the last moment and got the cheapest darn one she could find. So it's unlocked, but it's not a smartphone. With the intent to bring it back here, and then so that we could already have the device and choose any carrier we wanted.
Choose any carrier you want. Well, we have some folks with us right now who not only have this incredible plan available for a smartphone, for your cell phone plan, but you get the also joy of giving at the same time. And on that note, let me introduce Ashley Montvitas, who is the marketing and social media coordinator at Give, that's G-I-V, Mobile. Ashley, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Delighted to have you here with us. Now, tell us what this deal is. I mean, it sounds almost too good to be true, these rates.
Well, first of all, I mean, we're Give Mobile, so we're the first no-contract cell phone company that actually dedicates to donating 8% of each customer's monthly payments at the three charities of their choice. Wow. And we pride ourselves with using mobile communication, something that we all use every single day, into a tool for good. So 8% of each of our customers' monthly plans get donated to the charity of their choice. And we have some awesome partnerships with charities such as the Alzheimer's Association, American Forest, Kids in Need Foundation, and the Conservation Fund. And, of course, I mean, it just doesn't end there. We offer 8 categories of all sorts of charities to choose from, including education, animals, public health, environment. So whatever somebody's cause is, we have a charity for them to donate to.
That's wonderful. Now, well, Ashley, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, so, yeah, it sounds way too good to be true, right? So this must be on a network where I can, you know, pick it up if I go stand on the roof of my house or something, right? That's not true at all, is it?
No, we actually run on a nationwide 4G LTE network, so that would be T-Mobile. So most unlocked GSM phones, you know, whether from AT&T or locked or unlocked T-Mobile phones, actually work perfect on our service.
Now, there's two aspects to this, and one is the service, and I want to talk about that, but also the giving you're doing. But right now, as a matter of fact, you have a contest going on until September the 13th for people in the Detroit area, right?
That is correct. So our name of our contest is called Michigan, How Do You Give Back? And people can enter to win by stating how they give back to their community, whether it's donating to charity or doing some type of volunteer work. And the person with the most sincere and best answer will actually win a brand new Samsung Galaxy S5.
Ooh.
3 months of Give Mobile unlimited everything service on our most popular plan, which is our $65 plan, and a $200 donation to the Give Mobile charity of their choice on their behalf, as well as a local branch. So, for example, if a customer wants to donate to the Alzheimer's Association, we'll donate to the national level in their name, as well as their local branch. And the Alzheimer's Association actually has a Greater Michigan chapter as well, so we would donate $200 to both.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, by the way, the contest that Ashley's talking about, you can find out about that by just visiting the link that is on our homepage. So go to internetadvisor.net. And if you scroll down the page, you see Ashley's smiling face. And then next to that, Give Mobile Southeast Michigan Contest. And as you go down in there, there's a hot link you can click on that will take you right to the contest. And then you can enter the information you need right there.
Yes, so all the instructions I had to enter right on that link.
Yeah, right on that link.
Right to our Facebook page.
Now, this is going to end on September the 13th. Are you going to continue any other kind of contest or promotions after that for the Give Mobile here locally?
You know what? Right now, after that contest, we are going to finish and wrap that up. And if it's a success and we find somebody who's, you know, really donating and someone who's an awesome volunteer in that area, we're always looking to do more contests and more promotions. So if it works out really well, of course, you know, we're definitely open to doing that.
Now, we need to make it clear, contest or no contest, you folks are going to continue, am I right, with the whole process? For instance, if somebody signs up for Give Mobile and takes on one of your plans, I think there are 4 plans there that go from, as you said, let's see, the $29, I think, a month, which has certain limits on terms of the speeds, I think, of the data and things like that. Explain, what is the $29 one, just so we get the bottom end?
So the $29 plan actually has unlimited everything. So that's unlimited talk, text, data, unlimited picture messaging, global text messaging, and then we offer a $2.50 international calling credit. Mm-hmm. Now, it includes unlimited data, but it includes unlimited data at 2G speeds, and 2G is pretty much good for social media, browsing, email, and you know, basic stuff like that. So if someone's looking to video stream or do a lot of streaming, we would recommend the $35, the $45, or the $65 plan.
Right. So as you go up plan, and I want to make that clear to the folks, as you go up in the plans, you get a little higher data speed throughput so that on the top one, it's 4G, right? That's the $65 a month.
Right. The $65 unlimited plan offers 4 gigabytes of high-speed data, which is a ton of web usage. You still get unlimited data, but it has that 2G speed. And if someone's using Wi-Fi, you know, whenever available, they can make that stretch and probably only use half of that a month. So that's why we have the lower plan.
I use a crazy amount of data every month, Ashley, and what I've looked at is I'm still below 4G because I use Wi-Fi an awful lot. Matter of fact, a good deal of the time on Wi-Fi rather than on the phone system.
Right.
Now, so the bottom line is, though, folks, you're going to be connecting over T-Mobile system. This is not some fly-by-night thing. So check out T-Mobile, how it works with you. Now, my understanding, by the way, you can bring your own phone to this plan?
Yes. So as I was mentioning earlier, since you run on the T-Mobile network, it's a GSM system, meaning that you can just pop a SIM card into the phone. So any unlocked GSM phones, such as iPhones, Androids, or anything of the like, and then as well as locked T-Mobile phones will work in our service. And it's, I mean, ideal that you use a T-Mobile phone because it's fully compatible, but you can use unlocked AT&T phones as well.
And then you have deals on phones that you offer, right?
Absolutely. Right now we're actually running a promotion where customers can get a free Android smartphone when they purchase 2 months of our Unlimited Everything service, starting with a $35 plan.
Wow, very good. Okay, folks, so again, we're talking about GIVE, that's G-I-V Mobile. You can find out more about that at internetadvisor.net. You go to our home site, go in down, you'll find out more about the company and just everything that they do there. And then down in the middle of the contest, you have a link you can click on there that will take you to the specific contest, which ends September 13th. When the contest is done, you still have this company giving 8% of your bill to a charity, and you can identify that charity any way you want. So, Ashley, this is a wonderful program. We're delighted to tell people about that here in the Detroit area.
Yes, I mean, definitely. It's an awesome program. You know, we just launched last year, so we're definitely excited. Our parent company actually has been around since 2001. So, I mean, we definitely know what we're doing as far as, you know, mobile services, but this whole idea of giving back while using a cell phone is new. So, we're 8% gives back, and what's nice is that we don't charge the customer the 8%. We take that out from, you know, the plan that they're paying for on our end and donate that.
I love it. Ashley, it sounds like a great program, folks. Again, if you want to explore it, the links are there at our homepage, internetadvisor.net. Ashley, thanks so much, and have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Hey, folks, what I wanted to do was to let you know that coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to take a break for the news, and then after that, we're going to be back for an hour. Gary, Ed, and I. Ed's been our silent partner here. He's been working on Gary's drone.
I'm Facebooking with my daughter right now.
You are. Gary, do we have your phone lifting off yet?
There's liftoff. Ed's got it to where it works. We're got to do the trim tabs now to make sure it hovers properly.
Okay. So, well, we'll use the news break to take that.
Yeah, it's so slam fast all through the studio here.
You know, I almost took the plunge to get one of those too, even before Rick Broider brought that in, because I saw his video that he published Facebook, and I just fell in love with it. I had two people at work to buy it, but I'm too cheap to go out and buy one myself.
Well, Gary's bringing it to test it out. So here's what happens, folks. We take a quick break. Break. When we come back after that, Annie Nichols, our lady of the phones, will be there waiting for you at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. I might mention, this will be one of the few times that you, our listeners on WJR, our home station, will be able to call in live with your questions. So if you've got something that's been bugging you about your computer, about your internet connection, or whatever it may be, get on the phone, 800-859-0957, and we'll do our very best to answer that for you in this next hour of the Internet Advisor. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor. Don't forget to check out my review of the Nokia 635 Windows Phone. You'll find it in the show notes. Just click on the title and you can read the entire review. It's the first Windows phone to come with the brand new Windows Phone 8.1 operating system already installed. I hope you'll find the review interesting and worthwhile. Actually, I'm probably the only person on the show that uses a Windows phone other than Shane and really likes them. So give it a listen. Thank you for joining us for hour number two of the Internet Advisor. On this special program, we've been on since 3 o'clock, and now this second hour is the one in which we answer your questions. And we do that when you call us at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. Ed Riddell, Gary Baker, and myself, Foster Brown, standing by, waiting to answer your questions about your computers. Please give us a call, 800-859-0957. It's the Internet Advisors, hour number two. We roll up our sleeves, even if they're short, get ready to do some work and help you answer questions that you've sent in to us. Although right now we have a unique opportunity here for you folks who are WJR listeners. During the fall, winter, and spring months, we are normally pre-recorded and we answer questions over email. And by the way, we continue to do that all throughout the week. If you go to internetadvisor.net and click on the Contact Us button, you have an email there where you can put your question in and we'll get it. And Ed Riddell and Cal and Shane and myself and Gary sometimes will answer that question to the best of our ability. But today we have a unique opportunity during this sports season when we're going to be on the air with you live for the next roughly 50 minutes. And you have an opportunity to call a computer support line free and get in on the vast experience of somebody like Ed Riddell, who's been, how many years have you been doing computer support, Ed, now?
Let's see, 1983? No.
That when was when he was very young.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I first took apart my first PC, we were probably. Yeah.
And he's, I love it, and he's continued that process ever since. Gary Baker, of course, he was here with us in the studio, and myself, Foster Brown. So again, that phone number, 800-859-0957. This is your unique opportunity to call in and talk to some computer techs about your problems and see if we can get some help for you. Also, if you need advice about some things, we'd love to talk with you as well. 800-859-0957. Okay, let's go to our first caller, Al from Southfield. Al, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well, sir. What can we do for you today?
I've got an old Dell computer. It's running under XP.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing these ads that says, like cleanmypc.com,
mm-hmm.
that will help support the security. Since Microsoft is not supporting it any longer,
yeah.
Is that stuff any good for it?
Okay, Ed, you want to take a crack at that one first?
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. There are some companies out there that are going to capitalize on Microsoft no longer providing security updates.
Yes.
And, you know, I just don't know how reputable they are.
I'm sure it'll work until it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, but the problem,
right? And yeah. Really, that's the problem is you won't know until something happens, and somebody exploits a known, defect within XP, if there's nobody there to help you protect your computer.
You're out of luck.
And if you think they're protecting you and they're not, that's the problem. And the problem is you're only as good as their reputation.
Yeah.
So who are you thinking?
It's a company called Clean My PC. It's from the United States.
No.
They advertise on like Fox and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wonder if it's any good.
Generally speaking, Al, I think between us, we are pretty skeptical. First of all, we've all used different tools, free tools most often, to clean our computers. And that could be using like CCleaner to get rid of the junk on there. And then things like Malwarebytes, again, the free version to go after malware that's on there. And, so there are all sets of tools that are out there that are free. And Ed, as a matter of fact, has created a toolkit on our Internet Advisor homepage.
And Clean My PC is free also. And they're a partner of Microsoft. They just haven't won very many awards. So the industry isn't really excited about
it. Right. And if you ever have problems with your computer, I bet you they come with an application that allows them to remotely jump into your computer for a specific amount of money to provide you support. So if there's something that will go wrong, they already have pre-installed software. To me, that sounds like it's a setup.
Yeah, it does.
I'm not sure if it is.
So, Al, basically, there are all sorts of free tools out there, have been all along, to help you to tune up and keep your XP machine running properly. However, since Microsoft stopped protecting it and upgrading it, etc., no matter how well you tune things up, you are going to be at the mercy of the virus developers out
right.
there.
Right. And you know, and it's that time of year where there are, if you go to big box stores, a lot of them have refurbished computers that you could pick up for under $200 that may be two years old.
Under 200,
I was thinking about buying a new one. I wasn't sure which way to go on it.
Well, it depends. You know, Alec, it depends on how much money you got. I mean, how much were you planning on putting into the computer?
Well, if I go out and buy a new one, I'll probably... I assume right around $1,000, right?
No.
Oh, no.
No, not at all.
Depend on what you want. They're anywhere from $200 up to $300,
$400. Right. What do you do with your computer?
Well, mostly it's my wife. She's on eBay and stuff like that. And then we hunt for vacation homes to go to.
A laptop would
like
be
that.
Perfect.
Yeah, a laptop.
I mean, my wife was used to our desktop, and I gave her my son's. When he bought his college computer, we had a Dell with Windows 7 on there. I erased everything, put it back to factory defaults, gave it to her, and she set it on the desk for 2 weeks where the old computer, her old computer was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then she migrated to the kitchen table. Now she's all over the darn house with the damn thing. So it took a while for her to actually take that notebook plunge. She loves it now.
Yeah.
She'd take it over her parents' place.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that if you, Al, went out and you were in South Lyon, look around. I mean, you could go to almost anywhere, but look for a refurbished machine or even brand new running Windows 8.1. You'll find a bunch of them out there for $300-$400 at the most. And that'll get you going. So
you don't need a big one for what you're doing, it sounds like, unless you're editing or something.
And make sure it has a touchscreen if you get Windows 8.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so that'll cost you a few bucks more.
Thanks so much. Hey, folks, back to answer your question, 800-859-0957. Dale, talk to you in a moment. Thank you so much for joining us for this hour number 2 of the Internet Advisor. By the way, would you please make a little note of this? InternetAdvisor.net is our homepage. Keep an eye on that. And when you go there, by the way, there's a Twitter you can sign up for, our Twitter account, or you can watch our Facebook page for the next time that we will be on live here on WJR. And that's because MSU Sports is going on. And we're excited because I think fall, winter, and spring, we'll be on a little bit more on the live programming. And so we're looking for various opportunities to talk to you. But every week we do this program because we have a series of affiliates who listen to us as well out there in the 4 cities across Michigan. And so we're doing a 2-hour show every week. And on the weeks that we're not live with you here on WJR, we're taking your email questions and we're using them as the subjects for the second hour. And often we'll call people back. And we'll talk about their case with them before we put it on the air.
And also, if you don't hear us live, they can go to iTunes and get our podcast or come to our site, internetadvisor.net, and get the podcast right off of our site as well.
So we have had some problems with iTunes recently, by the way. So I'm going to suggest if you...
Then go to our site.
Our site, internetadvisor.net. You'll be able to find podcasts going back a whole bunch of years as well. So not just the ones we have right now. Again, our number, 800-859-0957. And let's welcome Dale from Ray, Michigan. Hi, Dale. How you doing? And what can we do for you here?
Howdy.
Howdy.
Hey, Dale.
I have a laptop running Windows 7 Home Premium. And it was getting slow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 6 minutes from turn it on until I can see email.
Okay, that's slow. Yep, you're right.
So I've always had Norton for virus protection on this machine.
Right.
And a friend told me that Norton, he thinks, slows down a computer. And he suggested taking that off and using mm-hmm. Windows Security Essentials.
Yes. Personally, I would agree with him, number one, for a couple of reasons. And Norton is an okay security program, but I think what you may be encountering is it tends to be, my experience at least, and Gary, you've had a different experience, but mine is that it has been a resource hog. It is monitoring so much that it gobbles up a bunch of resources.
Yeah, if you, so once upon a time, right, about 8 years ago, if you downloaded the Norton suite, mm-hmm. That was certainly true. Now, yeah. That got better even with the suite. If you just use antivirus, much, much less so. Still a little bit, but that's what it does. And with a slower or older computer and new antivirus, it can tend yeah. to slow it down because it does monitor mm-hmm. so many different things. There's no way you can do antivirus without creating some latency.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Microsoft Security Essentials, however, now called Defender in Windows 8, is a really good, it's excellent. Lightweight, it's yeah. built more into the program, and that's what I would suggest.
And that's the key point, is that Microsoft integrates or uses a lot of the integrated Windows features for its monitoring and security.
That's right.
And that's why it outperforms most any antivirus out mm-hmm. there. So let me ask you the question of, so did you say that you removed Norton?
Yeah.
Okay, so how is the performance now?
It saved me about a half a minute. Maybe it's 5.5 minutes instead of 6.
Okay. That brings up another point is a lot of times we jump to conclusions, and let's look at what else can cause the slowdown. And that could be a full disk drive or a damaged disk drive or a virus or malicious software. So one of the first things I do is I go in, and I've mentioned this many times in the show, is Microsoft will not throw up a sign that says, your hard drive is failing. They don't do that. You have to actually go into what's known as the Windows Event Viewer to look to see if you have any hard drive areas. And in Windows 7, you can do that by hitting the Start button, selecting Event Viewer, Start Search for Event Viewer, and then you have to drill your way down till you actually find the system logs. Not a very easy thing to do. So what I recommend people to do is run a check disk on their computer. So from your computer, if you open up My Computer, and then you'll locate your disk drive, your C drive, from your My Computer. Are you familiar with that? It's a local disk drive or hard disk drives. There'll be a listing of all your hard drives when you go into My Computer.
Hang on. Let me see if I can.
Here's what I'm going to suggest to you. As Ed will give you kind of a recipe for this, and then don't try to keep up with it all as we're doing it, because it'll take you forever. Later on, you can download the show and listen to that particular part, okay, to get if you miss some parts. But let Ed give you kind of the recipe.
Well, if you've ever gone into My Computer, you always see your C drive or local disk drive. What you do is you right mouse click on your C drive from My Computer, and you want to look at the properties of your C drive. And it brings up a multi-tabular dialog box.
I'm there.
And you want to select the Tools tab. And when you select the Tools tab, you'll have the very top section says error checking. And yes, I'd like to check my disk drive for errors right now. It's going to tell you that it cannot check your disk drive right now. Would you like to schedule it? So you want to check both boxes that says automatically fix my disk drive errors and scan an attempt to recover bad sectors. And when you select start, meaning I'd like to start this now so I can watch it. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not going to start it. It's going to say, would you like to schedule this for the next time you restart your computer? You'll say yes. Reboot your computer. It'll open up as Windows starts, it'll bring up a dialog box and what looks like an old DOS screen with very large letters. It says, a disk check has been scheduled. Would you like to interrupt it now? Press the space bar. Otherwise, just let this counter continue for the next 10 seconds.
Leave it alone.
Let it alone, and then it'll start checking your disk drive for errors. One of the things that'll slow down your computer are minor disk errors, where it's trying to either Windows NTFS errors, where the operating system is trying to move files around, and you have to use this utility to repair it.
Okay.
Or you actually have physical disk errors. So there's NTFS. So run this utility, and then I've also run defrag after this is done, Windows 7 does it automatically in the background, but I'll run disk check, and then I'll run defrag, and then I'll measure the performance again.
And that's, again, if you have an older hard drive. How long have you had your computer?
I don't remember. I'd say okay. 4 years, maybe five.
Okay, so you have an older hard drive, which has been a mechanical drive, which has been working for a while, and that may, in fact, be part of the problem. Another thing that can happen to give you long boot-up times is that you have, when you go into msconfig, which is msconfig, you type that into your search, click on that, and it'll present you with a series of tabs, and that will allow you to change your startup from start everything up to a selective startup. And you'll see sometimes, if you've never done it before, everything is checked in there. So you've got
a lot,
your
anyway.
Keyboard, you've got your Google, you know, update.
Yeah,
you've
I've got my yeah, I've got my Lexmark drivers for a printer I don't even have anymore.
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that.
All that, because what happens is when you start the computer says, "Now, hang on, I got to start all these things because you want them all started, right?"
Right.
And it just and it takes, after about 5 minutes, it starts. You know, yeah. So and may be part of it.
And that's especially true with Hewlett Packard printers that you're printing wireless that have that ability. Every time you power up your computer, they have to wait for the Windows wireless network to come up, you know, and then the HP's going, where's my printer? Oh, found my printer. Okay, you're set. You're waiting 30 seconds
exactly.
for that to happen.
So there's a number.
I do have that.
Okay. So you heard now a number of things that can happen. We agree with you to go to Microsoft Security Essentials. That's a great way to do it. It's free. And with Windows 7 in particular, it works like a charm.
Yep. And don't forget one of the other things, and I love Foster's suggestion of msconfig. I haven't brought that up in a while. But also look for download Malwarebytes and look for malicious software on your computer. Yeah. It's on the InternetAdvisor.net website under the toolkit under malware scanners. And if you want, after you install it, select the box that, no, I do not wish to try the 30-day trial.
Yeah.
That way in 30 days you're not bugged.
To buy something. Also, there's a couple other things we'll catch up on the break. So pay attention after
this. Is 3 megabytes of RAM enough?
Well, hang on a second. We'll come back and talk about that. All right? Take care. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. And thanks so much to Mike Stets, who is our engineer and our lady of the phones, Annie Nichols. Always good to have you here, Annie. Thank you so much. This unique opportunity, folks, for you to get some answers to your computer questions live with you folks on WJR. You can call us at 800-859-0957. Gary, you're going to mention one more thing for Ray and for anybody else who's having things kind of dragging on their Windows 7 system.
Yeah, I think Ed, are you going to?
Well, Gary reminded me of CCleaner,
yes.
Which can be used to clean off temporary internet files on your computer, and it has an excellent uninstall program in there, mm-hmm. so that if certain programs refuse to uninstall, but it also has a registry cleaner in there, that it'll scan your Windows registry for things that you know, are no longer installed, and sometimes that can speed up your computer as well.
Okay, great. Let's go back to our phone calls then, and let's say hello to Marianne. Marianne, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, I would like to know, I have an iPad mini that I purchased Christmas, so it's been about 7 months, and I absolutely love it.
Good. Great.
But it seems the more I'm on the Internet, whether I'm either using Safari or Google, I can get to the main page of just about anywhere I want to go, and then when I click on anything on that page, any hot links, to get more information about that subject, I get hijacked.
Tell me what that means. What happens?
Well, unrelated web pages come up. Things I didn't ask for. Completely unrelated.
Yeah. Huh.
Sometimes the App Store comes up showing me games. I mean, I'm like...
The App Store?
Yeah. It's very bizarre because it's not... I thought Apple didn't have viruses, so...
Well, they...
So there's no known virus right now for the iPad or iPad mini. There is a malware scare. There was a malware scare last year, and from time to time, other people reported things that sound like malware, and this does sound like malware.
Okay. How do I get rid of it?
Well, there's a...
But I'm not sure that it is, because malware wouldn't bring up the App Store.
Yes.
Okay, and that happens very rarely, but most of the time, it just takes me to weird websites.
Yes. Okay.
No,
have you tried? Now, this is with both browsers, right? Both browsers?
Yeah, I switch back and forth thinking, you know, and then it seems like if I shut the whole thing down and then, you know, hours later I'll come back and try again, it seems to be good. Uh-huh. And then the more I'm on the internet, then the more it happens.
Well, you know, first thing I would do is, with any computer, is review what programs are installed. It's possible that you have a program on there that yes. you've actually accepted something within the licensing that allows it to help with your searches on right. your web browsers.
Right.
So review the games and, you know, oh, I haven't used this in a few weeks. And this, you know, like one of the apps I'm looking at right now, and because Gary and I were just talking about it, I don't know what I would do without my DTE app, right? You know, for these networking outages we've been having. I also use Waze, you know, that Foster, you told me about.
Right.
But I don't have any games on there. If I do, I keep them on there for a short time, and then I go into the application manager and remove them. And it's even simpler to do that on an iPad mini.
The way you can do it with your mini, I believe, is you can do it with the iPad with your iPhone, is fire up iTunes and then hook up your mini to whatever computer you use to do your syncing with, right?
Okay, which I don't really pay much attention to because my laptop is an old gateway, and of course the operating system is now defunct.
Ah.
So I try not to use that at all.
Okay.
I can't believe it's been a long time since I actually hooked up my iPad Mini to my laptop. There seems to be, you know, no value added for me. So
How do you sync with iTunes?
I actually don't deal in music, so...
It's not just for music. iTunes is also where you can add and remove programs.
App Store. That's a different icon on my desktop, my face. You know, iTunes and the App Store both appear, but it's the App Store where I go to get my applications. And I do have about 70 apps installed.
But you manage...
And I don't play games, but that's not to say there might not be a game in here, so I think I'll review the games and get rid of anything I'm really not using, because I don't really play games.
But you know, it's something as simple as, and this is true with Blackberries or with Androids or with the iPads and iPhones, is that there are some applications that are developed out there, like the flashlight app. If you don't get the right flashlight app, it'll then redirect, you know, because you have the camera phone and the flash on there. Sometimes when I'm crawling underneath people's desks looking at network wiring, I'm crawling under their desk. Okay. I bring out my flashlight, not my phone, and I use this to look at the network wiring. Well, some of those apps will actually do GPS monitoring, network redirections, you know, for my browser.
So here's
a good question, though, would be, you know, do they come up with the same kind of redirection, or is it really sporadic? It sounds like it's really sporadic.
It is intermittent, and it does seem to be a variety, but I do recall one URL having something like biz in it, B-I-Z, as part of the URL name. I remember that frequently.
Would you take and try to jot some of this down when it redirects you? Somehow save it. Call us back next week email it to us.
Cal isn't here right now. Cal Carson is our Apple expert. And while I use all the Apple products, I'm not an expert at this and by any means. If you send an email to us, go to internetadvisor.net, click on the contact us button, and then give that message to us. I'll pass it on, make sure that Cal sees it.
Now, how do you do a screen capture on an iPad? I forgot. Isn't it like the... if it comes up...
It's because of something, at least on the Mac, or something called Grab. I don't know on the...
But you only have so many...
Guys, I just did it again. I was on Tiger Direct, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at cameras, and I want to get more information on a camera. I click on it. It comes up. It's completely blank. That's the other thing.
Okay.
I get nothing.
All right, then let's do this. Rather than us muddle around here anymore, we can try to get some things. But I think Cal, who knows Macs inside and out, will be the one. Now, if you, again, send us an email... And by going to the Contact Us button on the InternetAdvisor.net site, and we'll get that question to him, okay?
And one quick question. Are you using this through Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Is it your Wi-Fi, a public Wi-Fi?
I have a wireless in my home, so I do hook up to that most of the time. I took it on vacation last week, and I used my iPhone I have just an iPhone 4, but I used it, the hotspot on my iPhone, to get to the internet on my iPad Mini.
Good. Yeah, great idea.
Good idea. Yep. Okay, so okay, send us an email,
but it
okay?
It doesn't matter, then. It's not like just one Wi-Fi that this is happening on.
Yep. And there is a way of doing a screen capture on these devices. I think it's like the power and pressing that button, it'll do a screen capture.
Yeah, home button and power button for
a few
seconds.
You're right. I've done that on my iPhone. Yep. I recall that.
There you go. And that might help.
Okay. And do send us an email, okay?
All right. Will do. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Maria. Thanks so much.
You know, it shouldn't happen that way, right?
No. One other thing I was thinking of, sometimes when you have problems with your Apple device, a hard reset.
I was thinking the same thing.
Hold down the middle button, you know, on the bottom, the home page button.
The home button.
And then hold down the power button until you see an Apple come up. It'll go black, and then an Apple will come up, and then let it reboot completely. And that's a hard reset.
You know what? And so many people and I don't know why I didn't think of this. They leave their devices up, and we'll ask them, have you ever tried resetting that device? And they're like, I've never done a restart on my iPad except for the last firmware update, which was 6 months ago.
So try that too, hon. Try a hard reset, that way of holding down the home button and the power button until it goes black, and then an Apple comes up, and it'll be a complete reboot. Okay, let's go back out then, and this time to Chuck in Westland. Chuck, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Yeah.
How can you help? How can we help you?
I recently upgraded to a new computer, Windows 7, and I formerly had been using XP, and I had a turntable that I connected with using the Audacity program to record off of records and then burn CDs.
Mm-hmm.
With Windows 7, when I plugged in the turntable, it killed the sound on my computer. And so I unplugged it, and I'm wondering, is there any way, would that turntable have an internal program that would cause that?
Not usually, but because the turntable itself is a microphone voice. Input, I would think, of something like that. Have you gone into the control panel in Windows 7 and checked the sounds to see what your default sound devices or speaker devices are?
No, I haven't since I got it. I used to do that on the other one, but I haven't done it on that one.
You might want to do that and review your sounds and recording tabs from Control Panel, Sounds, go into the Recording and Sounds tab. And there should be a default button in there.
Okay, Chuck.
And we're going to go to break in a moment. Why don't you hang on?
And we'll see if we can come up with a few other things for you, okay? Hang on. We'll be back in just a moment to answer that question and yours as well. I want to thank the folks behind the glasses who say, Annie, who's been there, Andy Nichols, our ladies of the phone, Mike Stats, thank you, and Rich Luzinski, our engineers, who have been helping us get the program on the road here with you. Thank you very much for being with us here. Our time's shifting a little bit. Next week, I understand, we're coming back to our regular time, which is 4 to 6. We'll be on with again. So, some quick things for, let's see, we're talking with,
Sue Ellen from Bloomfield Hills. Is she next?
Hi, Sue Ellen, that's right. She's next from Bloomfield Hills. Hi, Sue Ellen, how you doing? And how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Perfect. Thank you very much. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. What can we help you with?
Well, I'm stuck in a problem here, and I have a Lexor thumb drive in my computer because I'm trying to do all things I don't know about, like use these pictures, like 4,000 of them anyway. I put it in, and I'm trying to close out of it.
What is the issue? What's happening?
So you have a thumb drive with photos that are on the thumb drive, right?
Right, and I'm trying to eject it. And so, it says the Lexar E is currently in use. Save any open files on this disk and then close the files or programs using the files before trying again. If you choose to continue, the files will be closed and you might lose data.
Okay, Ed, can you interpret that?
Well, I hear a lot of beeping in the background, so either she's pressing keys or we're getting some audio noise in the background.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
No, it's a phone, I think.
I think it's the phone. Okay. So one simple way, if you want to do this and protect the data that's on the USB device, is go into My Computer and then right mouse click on it and on your Lexar device and select Eject. That's one
way.
Well,
I'm doing that, but it's telling me
that there's a program open.
Yeah.
Okay, so just reboot your computer. And that's another simple thing to do.
I don't think...
So here's the other thing that you can do
if you really want to. Pull the USB drive out.
Well, no, I mean, there could be. And this is what happens. If you have photos in there, my wife did this. She installed the manufacturer Sony's software for their darn phone, and it is so invasive.
Yep.
It took control of all photos on the computer and re-audited them.
Yeah.
Anytime we plug a USB device or plug the camera in, it won't let us eject it.
Yeah.
So, and the same is true with Nikon.
What is this device you bought?
A Sony camera.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so so if you have a if you installed the manufacturer's software that came with the camera, it'll also inventory a USB device. So, what type of camera did you have?
Well, I have a Panasonic Lumix, and it's it has a that was another thing. It has a Photo Fun Studio 6.0 software, but I just bought a new you know, a higher-end HP printer that allows me to do pictures, which is why I'm in this whole issue. And it has Adobe Photoshop Elements, I guess.
Right.
So, and I'm wondering if I – what I don't want to run into is having them filed into either software where when I try to bring them back up, they've either filed into smaller pixel presentation, I can't get them to original size, or if – let me ask you this – if having of either of these two programs – can I? Which is the best one to use for picture development?
That I'm not sure. You're gonna. That's a taste thing. If this is your first experience with manipulating photos, most people settle on one and they try to stay with that.
Right.
I'm not familiar with them.
Elements is supposedly a good one.
It's but been that's around for years, yes. And a lot of people like it.
Yeah. Right, but back to your original Elements. Problem. If you just reboot your computer, you'll be able to eject that flash drive.
Yeah.
So do a shutdown and restart, and then. Well, once it's in the power-up mode, you can eject it or just pull it out.
So I know I was just going to say, so you don't subscribe to my method.
Not anymore. I used to, but then I started losing flash drives.
Really?
No, yes. But the thing is the problem is that that's my whole problem. I mean, is if I hit eject, it says all the programs aren't closed. And I've
no, what Ed's suggesting, but what Ed's suggesting to do is simply reboot the computer, start it over again, and then
just
with
go to
with a thumb drive in
yeah,
and out
yes.
of it.
Yeah.
In.
So when, instead of doing a restart, just keep the Lexar in there, do a shutdown. When everything shuts down, pull the Lexar out.
Yeah, then pull the Lexar out.
I used to be like Gary, and I will still pull a flash drive occasionally, but I've been using flash drives for so long, I'm like, why am I burning up so many flash drives? Why are they just dying on me?
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm not sure that's the reason, but it could be. Who knows?
Since I have been injecting them every time.
I shut it down and take it out when it's off.
Yes. Yep. And that should solve the problem.
Okay.
We know that will work.
Yes. We know that will work.
We'll still discuss this offline once we go to commercial.
Okay.
Between Ed and I.
What's causing it?
I'll call next week if I did it.
Okay.
Email us.
Another quick question.
Just a quick one, yes.
I was wondering if I could put both a thumb drive, and I bought a new Passport out drive, mm-hmm. Portable out drive with a... I don't know, a trillion, whatever what that is. And then if I can put the small, SDHC card, so that means I would have one USB cable with the SDHC card,
mm-hmm.
one with a thumb drive in it, and mm-hmm. then my Passport external drive. And if I started doing albums, could I go through this and drag them to three different...
I would
either
guess...
one of those three...
Yes. It might be a slow process depending on how much RAM you have, but essentially, if you're running Windows, right?
Yeah, 7.
Windows 7. Essentially, those will just all show up as extra devices. If you go to the C drive or look at the devices you have, mm-hmm. it will show you, there's the one drive and the other drive, et cetera, and you should be able to drag and drop from one drive to the other. I don't see why that would be a problem, unless, Ed, you know of any?
The one problem, because you said you had the external... drive you use for storage.
Right.
I've known a lot of people that make this mistake. They buy these flash memories. Your camera will hold thousands of photographs. My wife does this too, and mm-hmm. she'll drag them onto her computer. And I says, why don't you just copy them, honey? That thing isn't even full. What happens if our computer dies? Right. You're going to lose every one of your
copy
photos
rather than drag.
No. So what? I just want What I use a external drive for is to make backups of all the photos that are on my computer. I store all photos on my computer, and that external device is a backup of it. That way all I know photos. I have two copies. And we've had several callers that call in that say, I moved all of my photos on my external device because I was running out of disk space, and now that external device died.
Now
you just lost
now
10.
You need two external devices because you got to back the external device up.
And one other thing you can do as well, Sue, is that you can also use Dropbox, or if you're a Microsoft client and you have Office 365, you have a terabyte of storage online. So there are a lot of options, but what Ed is saying is make sure that you have a backup of that, of those pictures.
Well,
okay?
This outdrive is a terabyte.
That's fine. Yeah. But what we're suggesting is make copies and not simply move the whole file. You remember what I'm saying?
So if she wants to move it all over into external, I think Ed had the right idea, which is if you keep a copy on both your computer and the external, that's great. But if you're running out of room, and people do, what I do is I have two external drives that mirror each other.
Right. And they're cheap enough now, as you can.
And they're really cheap. Yeah.
All right, we're out of time, but thanks so much for giving us a call. And give us an email if you do have any further questions. Christopher, hang on. We'll talk with you in just a moment after the program is over. For the rest of you folks out there, as you're listening in here, next week we'll be back from 4 until 6, and you'll be able to get your phone calls in live that way as well. It's one of those few programs we'll be here during the fall when the football season is on board. We're looking forward to being with you live here on WJR. For the rest of you folks who listen to us on our affiliates, we're always going to be with you. And giving you 2 hours of programs every Saturday. And you can always get to that, home the podcast of our programs. If you'd like to hear something you enjoyed today or missed a part of, you can go back and get it Sunday night. We'll post the podcast there on our homepage at internetadvisor.net, where you'll find all of our show notes as well. Thanks again to Gary and to Ed and to all of you for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. Have a great night and go MSU.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.